Hey, I'm Reno.
What up, I'm Danny.
Hey, I'm Keith.
I'm Mike from Dead City.
I'm Grumpy from Dead City.
Welcome to It's All Bad.
As you might have noticed, there's no more ads on this show. And that's possible because of Patreon and guys like you and gals. So please subscribe on Patreon. We got special gift for you and tell a friend.
Finally, 3 years in the waiting, we've been waiting to get these guys on.
Hey, thank you guys for having us. We've been looking forward to doing this, but I was just a little bit paranoid, you know, like Statue of Limitations and stuff.
Enough time has passed. Yeah, we're good. Yeah.
Some shit run out.
It's been 7 years in one day.
You got a notification going, Oh, hey, I'm ready to come on.
We're actually in Ventura County now, so.
It don't count out of the county.
Thank you guys for having us.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Yeah, we're stoked. We're stoked to have you guys. Yeah. You guys got a movie coming out. Let's make sure, before we jump in, before we start getting into stories, what's the release date? What's good?
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, April 16th. 2026 Region Theater. We're having a documentary. We're having two screenings. So if this comes out before then, make sure you get your tickets. And if it's sold out, just be on the lookout. It might be on any type of
resale shit.
Yeah, or like maybe on
some platform.
Platforms like like a Netflix type thing or something. So yeah, we're just waiting for that. It's a great honor to be able to be part of something like that, and we're just really stoked to.
Make punk again?
Yeah, release stuff to the public and inspire the youth and even old people.
I mean, it's a great fucking band.
Thank you.
It's like,
thank you.
I was thinking about the history of Dead City, because I remember, the first band, the first name was, what was the first one?
All right, so our first band name was Silverteeth.
Not Silverteeth, was it?
It was Silverteeth Bandits, but we had a female vocalist, but... She moved out of town. Mm-hmm. So then Mike had just got out of jail, and I was like, hey, I think you should start singing, Mike. Yeah. And he's like, what the fuck? I don't sing. I make beats. Like, what do you mean? I'm like, nah, you're going to sing. And here we are, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's fucking outstanding too.
There was one point where you wanted to name the band Free Drugs. I remember.
Yeah.
And actually give out free drugs.
Which I was like, that's the best idea you've ever had. You know,
the most popular fucking band in the world.
I know.
Everyone will be coming to our shows. Yeah, free drugs.
Yeah,
dude, like, you just show up. Everybody's lined up.
Huh? It's a $200 ticket.
Yeah, everything's weighed out. Do all the math and shit. Make sure we don't come up short.
The ticket's on blotter paper.
The ticket is dose. You're like,
you rolled up the ticket of Snart Line.
When's your guys' next show? Do you know?
We don't really have anything planned. We got a show with the Circle Jerks coming up in Ventura County.
Circle Jerks and 7 Seconds. We're really excited to do that.
I fucking love 7 Seconds.
Yeah, Gorilla Biscuits as well is on there.
Oh, really?
You mean three legendary bands?
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm.
My girl calls me 7 Seconds because that's how long I last.
She's all perfect, right up your alley.
What, and who else is in the band?
It's me, Grumpy, our friend Adrian, and our other friend Mecca. And we have a new backup guitarist, Eddie. He's a really cool guy, and he's really been putting it down for us as being the backup.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
He's dope.
Yeah.
He's good. He's solid.
Yeah.
He helps us hold it down for live shows and stuff like that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Just to sound fuller.
Yeah, more.
Especially if we're going to be playing like bigger shows, you know?
Yeah.
Need that extra guitar in there.
It's fucking loud as it is. It's great. Yeah.
And it gives Mecca the freedom to like wall out a little bit more and be a little more.
And Mecca loves to wall out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Be a little more spontaneous with what he does.
Yeah.
Well, how did you guys meet?
Who?
You two.
We met through graffiti back in the days. He was just a little kid.
Long time ago, right?
Yeah. And we just bonded and
he just became like, I know when I met you guys have been like best friends.
Yeah.
Since.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
How old were you when you guys met? Because I met you when you were what? I met you...
Dude, I was like 13 or
something. No.
Yeah.
Danny goes way back.
And I was an old head. I was like 15 at the time.
Yeah, I know, yeah. You're unk.
Well, you at that point, like, that's a huge age difference. When you're 13 and 15, that's like a huge age difference, you know? Like, you get to like your fucking 20s or your 30s, and you're like, wait, we're the same age, you know?
Yeah.
But back then, you're like, oh, hell no, like...
I'm in. You're in junior high, yeah. and I'm in high school. Yeah. You know, not that any of us were in school at that point.
I know. Sure.
Yeah. yeah, tell that little kid to pass the joint. Huh? Yeah, yeah. Shit like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we've known each other for quite a long time. Just like I've known Danny for a long time too. I've even known you for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, we just been homies ever since. Kind of like on some family, like legit family.
Yeah.
And you're both funnier than shit too. you could have been comedians.
this guy should be, honestly.
He should, but he don't like it because people don't like cop cars.
No, we'll see. I mean, I have my days where I have a few zingers.
Yeah. and then you're playing in Paris too, right?
Yeah, yeah. We're also playing with Circle Jerks in Paris.
Paris, France, not Paris, California.
not Paris, Texas.
yeah.
Don't get it twisted.
Yeah. yeah. Paris, Wyoming.
Yeah.
It's sick. I remember when you guys first were gonna play this show in Mexico and Mecca never left the country, right?
Yeah. I think he never left
me either.
Yeah, wow.
Me either.
We didn't have passports, so we're like, how the fuck are we gonna do this? And like the passport process was like really annoying. So we're like, all right, we could just drive into TJ, and once we're in Mexico, we're like you pay the cops like to let you through.
Yeah.
Once you're in Mexico, you can fly to anywhere in Mexico without a passport.
Yeah. So really? we drove to San Diego, walked across the border, got stopped for not having passports. I think we paid like $30, and they're like, okay. And then we went straight to I think we're in TJ. We went to the airport there, flew to Mexico City.
Oh, wow.
So if anyone out there wants to know the cheapest way to fly to Mexico City, drive to San Diego and then take a flight from TJ. You'll save hundreds and hundreds.
What is it, like $325 or something?
No, it was like $40.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
From LA to Mexico City is like $800-$900.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
That's
so
crazy.
This, yeah.
Yeah. I've heard that that's a hack, is going to the dentist in TJ and then also going to the airport in TJ.
Yeah, stop at Hong Kong while you're waiting.
Stop at Hong Kong, you get some boner pills.
Yeah. While you're waiting.
Get a puppy on the way back, you know, yeah.
Guess overalls.
Yeah. Yeah. Some fucking pills, antibiotics, Viagra, all that shit.
Right.
Yeah.
I know, it's fucking wild. Like, I remember, I was in Mexico, fucking Alexis, of course, like, we were doing this job in Mexico City, and Alexis gets the director and the producer, Yuri, and David all riled up. Let's go to Cuba and shit, right? I'm like, all right. And I was the last one. I flew down. We did the job, and Alexis backs out. Now all three of us have never been to Cuba. And I'm like, I'm telling these dudes, I go, because they would stamp a paper in your passport and stamp that. Yeah. So that, because they were hip, you know?
Right.
But I tell these dudes who don't have a criminal mind at all, right? We're about to go back. I go, hey, make sure you're buttoned up because you have two entrances to Mexico.
Yeah.
And nothing in between. You know what I mean? Dude, we get on the plane. I go to the bathroom. Yuri's like sweating. yeah. And we all get out the airport. And I'm like, I seen him, like them two all nervous. I'm like, fuck this. I got up and bailed right out of the plane. And I went through customs and met Yuri's wife and shit. And she goes, where are they? I go, they're coming. Then David comes. Dude, 2 hours for Yuri. They jammed him up. They're like, who are you? And he goes, Yuri Henley. Tell us your real name. One of those. And he got hammed. He got through eventually.
You think he willed it on himself because he was all nervous and sweating? And
100%.
Fucking, oh, man. That's crazy.
But it was cheap as shit to fly to Cuba from Mexico City.
Yuri was, fun fact, Yuri was one of the original co-hosts of It's All Bad. We recorded like 8 episodes and we were like, we're going to drop this. And he was like, yo, guys, I can't do this because it could fuck my career up. So we're like, what do you mean it's going to fuck your career up? Yeah. So we had to like re-fucking edit it and get rid of his episodes and everything.
Wait a minute. This could fuck up our career? All right.
then he ended up coming on.
Then he came back. Yeah. And he was like, release all my stuff. He was also like, whatever. I mean, I'll put it. He was like producing the Mr. Rogers movie at that point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's valid.
Yeah. That's valid. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Great movie, by the way.
That movie is fucking great. Really,
that was good. Yeah. But you're on here talking about like turkey basing speed and shit and fucking, you know what I mean? He's like, got to meet Tom Hanks the next morning for, you know.
He was a PA on his first job. He was a PA on Saved by the Bell.
Wow.
And he would, it was Screech's birthday. And they were like, his mom worked on it. And they gave him petty cash to go buy a cake and some pizzas and bring it back. And he like went and got all the stuff. And he's like, oh, I got an extra $30. He's like, I'm just going to make a stop at the crack spot, you know, and just went and smoked it all up. He shows up like
at the end of lunch. Yeah. And the whole crew is just like, you've ruined Screech's birthday.
Wow. Not Dust. What is it? Dustin Diamond.
Yeah, yes. Diamond. Yeah.
But the better one is, did he tell this last story or no?
No.
Dude, so him and you know the guy Ash? You probably know Ash. I can't remember what he wrote. He's the guy who started, what was the first like streetwear company?
Con Art. Yeah.
But they were writers, right? Yeah. And this is like.
He's Slash's brother, right?
Ash is.
Yeah.
But
is his last name Wednesday? No, I'm kidding.
But
like their last name's like Levitz or something, but they would be coming in, like Yuri, Ash, and them into the house, and Ash's brother would be on the couch, like burning, smoking weed and playing guitar all the time. And he was just the butt of the jokes. His older dude, your brother's a fucking loser. He needs to get a job and all this shit, right? And they'd clown him every day. And one day they came because they'd be out writing. He comes in. And he goes, "Hey, Ash, you guys like to do art and stuff. Do you want to do an album cover for my new band?" And Yuri said they were like, "What's your band called, fool?" And he's like, "Guns and Roses." And they like laughed him out of the room. Yeah. And Yuri goes, "You don't understand." He goes, "It wasn't like 4 years later." He goes, "It was like 11 months later. They were on the cover of the Rolling Stone."
I know. Oh my God. You never know, man.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Sometimes when it's like meant to be, or when it's your time, it's your time. There's no like a time limit you could put on stuff.
Yeah.
There's people that have probably been playing for like 30 years that haven't even like played in a bar yet.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's like, it just all depends. It's like a literally sometimes like the luck of the draw type of stuff, or just right place, right time.
I mean, even for us earlier today, like we just did a LA Times interview about our band.
Oh, rad.
And I never thought in my life, like when I was smoking dope in a motel with this guy and they're banging on the door, like, "You need to check out of here." Like, yesterday, and now we're doing something positive, like in the LA Times for something positive, is something I never imagined possible.
That's cool. I know, it's so like surreal. It is. That's
really cool. What was the first Dead City show? Was that the one under the bridge?
No, we did several. I think the first one, it was at the Snake Pit. That was like one of the first ones, and then we did Echo Park and then Lafayette Park.
And then we played like a few, like in like San Bernardino or something.
Oh, really?
Like just regular,
like little backyard, like
cool
shows when we were first starting.
I mean, there's nothing like a fucking Dead City show. That shit is wild.
How about the Bakersfield show?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that was a good one.
We came up to Bakersfield. I went up with Narcan Nate to table it and to give out Narcan.
Yeah, shout out Narcan Nate.
Yeah, shout out Narcan Nate.
Saving lives.
Dude, for real. And we were handing out Narcan, and fools in Baker, and of all places, Bakersfield is where they should know what Narcan is. Fools were walking up like, "What is this here?" Like, what's Narcan? You know, Narcan, you know? They were like, "Do you get high off of this?" We're like, "No, it's the opposite of that." But like, they had no clue what fucking Narcan was.
Keep that shit away from me, dog.
Yeah. That was a fun show.
I know. I know.
Yeah, that show was crazy. Two of our friends, Nick Curtis, he was fighting a security guard with one of our other homies, and I'm like playing mid-set, and I see them fighting, and I grab my cymbal stand and I spear it, chuck it at the security guard, like nail him with the cymbal stand, and just fucking jump right back on beat. You know?
Yeah, it was a great song. It was a shout out to the residents of Bakersfield.
Yeah, all the homies out there.
They get down.
Yeah. They do. Yeah. Uh-huh. They're on their own. That's like their own vibe out there. I respect it. I fuck with it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah. Like, what's his name who we had on? Bako Scum.
Adam.
I love Adam.
Yeah. He had deep Bakersfield stories.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he played that show as well.
Yeah. He's the one that kind of like facilitated that.
Dry Sockets, right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah, I love Adam, man. He's
Adam, cool. I hope you're doing good out there, brother.
Yeah, same.
I think he's doing great. Yeah. I think he messaged me not too long ago, but
I always see him doing like workout routines with Alloy and Nate No Face. When you see him like
doing pull-ups at the park,
he looks healthy. You know, how sucked up is he? You know, but he looks good
with
right now.
Alloy Electrician Alloy. Yeah. Oh no shit.
Yeah, the homie Alloy.
The greatest electrician around.
If you guys need electrician stuff, hit up Alloy.
Dude, and his wife's a welder. They're both like, she's like a union welder. They're the most working class fucking skinheads you'll ever meet.
It's that oi working class right there.
Dude, genuinely, he got together with her. I was like, "You motherfuckers are wild."
Like, yeah. She was like, when he was doing my house, she was working at Disneyland. He's like, "Oh, I got to get back to the pad." She's working overnight, fucking fixing the Matterhorn or some shit at Disneyland. Yeah. That was crazy.
Yeah. Well, but did you all three get loaded together?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for like time. 10 years straight.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least.
Yeah. I know, and it's so good to see like oh my god, like it's so fucking like inspiring and so good to see what has become of Danny.
Cuz he was the worst, right?
Oh yeah, the most awful human.
I was the worst, yeah. Yeah.
He was the bad and it's all bad.
It like out of the whole crew of all of our friends, I'm like, Danny? Right. Like Danny's not the worst, but
you know, it's funny. I know cuz you know, I was working at CRLA, the treatment center that we all went through when he came in. And
yeah,
Sasha
went there.
Came in.
Yeah, he came through too. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
I went there when it got raided.
Oh no shit!
You were there when that happened.
Yeah, they raided the pad when I was in there.
Where West Adams?
Yeah.
Damn.
I went into that program 2 years sober. I had just got out of jail.
No way.
And I needed a place to live. And I was like, Danny, I need a place to live. He's like, well, I could put you in this program. I'm like, fuck, dude. You know, but it was cool. I had a good time there. Met some good friends. Rest in peace, Shaq.
Yeah, you know? Shaq.
Yeah, Max.
Shaq
rest
was
in
great.
Peace.
I met Shaq.
Dude, we were on a pass. Me and Shaq were on a pass, and we link up with Mike. And then like we go to Mike's like little dungeon tweaker den, and it's just like people like shooting fent and like smoking dope and all this shit. And we had another homie, shout out Chase Booth, who took us to this spot, and we he did like credit card fraud and shit, and he bought us like the crazy. What was that place?
Oh no, we went and ate at like this fucking prestigious restaurant.
Then, and this is the credit card fraud.
We had this card, and then I took these guys to Target, and we fucking swiped for some like iPads and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Allegedly. Yeah.
I got back to CRLA, and I was like, fuck, I was just in this like smoky ass room. I'm like, am I gonna test dirty? I was all paranoid and shit, but I was fine.
I've been there.
When I was at Impact, when I went through Impact, I went out on a procurement run with the dude who would go pick up all the donation shit. And he was like this counterfeiter dude. He was cool. But he, they sent us out to like West Covina to pick up shit like Target and Macy's and all this shit. And we're driving. It's like November, right? And I told him, I go, because all the stuff would come and the staff would take everything. Yeah. All, you know, it'd get donated, the staff would get rifled through it. Yeah. So I told him, I go, my sister lives right around here. I go, if we want anything, you know what I mean? So we go there and she's on one, and we just pick out all the shit we want, and she wrapped it like Christmas presents and shipped it to me in Impact.
Oh, no shit.
Oh, dude, my favorite part about CRLA. So I get in there and I'm like, fuck, man, like this shit sucks. And then I see like this big gangster dude, right? And he's like mad dogging me, like looking at me all crazy. I was like, what the fuck? And he's like, hey, I know you. I was like, what? He's like, you did a job for me before. I was like, what the fuck? And it was Smokey from White Fence, rest in peace. And right off the back, he's like, look, here's a blind spot. He's like, when people are acting up, I'm gonna have you beat them up in the corner right here.
Damn.
And he's like, and here's a phone. And he gave me a phone. And like, we were all on there like on fucking, what's that stupid dating app? Tinder. We're all like swiping.
Plenty of Fish or something.
Swiping on Tinder, like trying to get fucking matches. I don't even match with trans, but it's but yeah.
Smokey, Smokey. Yeah, I remember Smokey,
That was a good dude right there. He was about the program. He was solid.
He was.
Yeah. And then he became a big part of our life after we were out of the I was out of the program. Like I stayed close with him, and he would come to our spot all the time.
Yeah.
That's dope.
I went to me, Nick Angelo, and Eli all went to his service, you know, and we pull up. And as we're about to walk in, like some of his big homies come up, they go, hey, I think you're at the wrong memorial. And we're like, no, we're not. No, we're not. We know where we're at. We're here for smoking. They're like, shit, okay. No.
Was it in Hollywood?
Oh, hell no.
Yeah.
No.
It was like Boyle Heights.
East Side White Fence.
Yeah, East Side,
I think I met him at Cry Hell. He went through Cry Help. Him and Junior both went through
he
Cry
was the
Help.
One, so he went through, and then when Junior was trying to get yes. sober, he was like Junior's big homie that helped get him into treatment.
Yeah. Junior always tells the story about he saw his homeboy there, like as a graduate, and he would bring him a carne asada burrito every day if he stayed.
He would show up anytime somebody new would come in and they didn't have like whatever, like they didn't have shit, like he would call the little homies and be like, all right, I need this size fucking kicks, socks, whatever, you know, like pro clubs, and like would get them taken care of. And
really?
He was like, all right, yeah.
Hey, and he was literally like one of the most like treacherous fucking gang prison ass people. But when it came to like sobriety and the program and stuff, he was like A1. Yeah. I mean, he was really about that shit.
Yeah, he did like, what, 25 years in prison for like murder and shit?
He murdered someone in the city I grew up in.
He was like 17 or something.
Damn.
And he was dope.
Yeah, he was
good. Good dude, man.
Yeah, when you see the kind of change that happens in people's lives, you know what I mean? As somebody, especially that's lived like that, like, you know, there's no denying it, you know, and it's a whole give back thing. It's the thing that makes it work, you know what I mean? Like, we can't just come here and be like, oh, cool, thanks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to give back and keep it going.
Yeah. He gave me my phone on the first day in rehab. I was like, sick. I was watching porn and shit. I was like, fuck yeah. Yeah. He just had a bunch of phones. I'm like, what are you? Who are
you? Do you guys have any good stories of Danny being scandalous?
Oh, dude, of course. Oh.
They got all, if anybody, these guys got more dirt on me than anybody else, anybody we've ever had on, but maybe anybody else, period.
Yeah.
For sure. You want to take one away or what?
Damn, I'm thinking, there's so many.
What you got?
No, I mean, we all were scandalous and we'd all rip each other off and we'd all like fucking be like.
And you're like, that motherfucker's a
thief. We would be like, we were cool with each other, but we were like always at it to get each other too behind the scenes. There was like.
Well, there was a moment where we all became really close because we were staying at this dude, Chris Ford's house.
Yeah, rest in peace, Chris Ford.
And we were fucking running amok in that pad. And, Chris, like, we had done some fucked up shit to Chris, and he figured it out, and he was, like, trying to kill
Unravel.
Us.
Yeah. He unraveled. The case was unraveling as we were, like, living there with him.
Yeah.
So, like, and then, like, finally, like, we'd all meet that. We'd all be, like, you know what I mean? Smoking meth, doing heroin, PCP mandatory. That was, like,
really?
Hell yeah. We would have, like, some spiritual experiences on PCP. We did, And then eventually, like, the place just kind of, like, went into, like, it just got really bad. Plus, he knew, like, he started finding out information of the unscrupulous activities that went down. And so we've kind of just, like, migrated to Danny's spot.
And we escaped with two chicks. And then one of the girls, Danny, ended up. Like, that was your, what, fiance or whatever?
And then the other girl became married to Mike.
Yeah, to our friend Mike.
Yeah.
HVAC Mike.
Yeah. Carrie. Shout out to Carrie. Yeah. Shout out to Sasha.
Sasha the homegirl. Those are crazy times. All right, so on the PCP tip, so we had, like, a gallon of, like, PCP at one time, and, like, we were just, like, fucking dunking cigarettes in this shit, like, crazy, and we had this crazy idea.
You got a gallon of fucking PCP?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He brought it, like, first time Grumpy brought a stick, like a Sherm stick, and I smoked it, and I was like, wait, how much is that? And he's like, whatever, you know? And then I was like, what's the next increment you get? And it was like, oh, a gram. And I was like, what's the next one, an ounce? And then, like, it literally went from there to, like, a fucking gallon, you know?
Yeah, the homie Droopy gave me a gallon of PCP. And I was like, what the fuck? So we had this, like, great idea to mix all these drugs we had. So we, like, rolled a blunt. We put, like, weed, meth, crack, heroin, crushed up pills, like, whatever the fuck we found, we rolled it in this giant blunt, and we soaked it in PCP, and we called it a doom stick. And we smoked the doom stick, and I swear to God, like, three of the dudes that were there never came back. What was the Asian guy's name?
Earl.
Earl never came back to reality after
that. Yeah, really? Never came back. Yeah.
I was gone for a long time off it.
It made, like, one rotation, and then we all looked at it, and we're like, it's not making
like
it,
like every like, hit I took, my body's like, danger, danger, this is bad. stop. And I kept hitting it. I'm like,
it was like everything we had, we just put in there, everything. And then that's dipped insane. It, you know, like dipped that's it. Yeah.
Oh, dude, what about the one time when we did the wheelbarrow?
Oh my God, and, the wheelbarrow.
So we crushed up all this drugs and we made these giant lines like this big
on the floor.
Like,
yeah,
this,
like, literally on the floor,
like on the dirty ass floor. And you lay on your stomach, and one person will hold your feet. And then you hold your nose with the other arm and you fucking wheelbarrow them.
You get pushed forward.
No way.
But then what was the black dude? We Sasha dropped a wine glass.
Uh-huh.
And he, like, snorted, we cleaned some glass. It up.
Yeah.
And he snorted like a little chunk of glass and he was just gushing. It was his birthday too.
Miles,
just fucking pouring blood.
He was
out.
The one that taught us, like, he was like, oh, he's like, you gotta do this. And it was like anybody that had any powder. You literally would just pour it out.
All
and
mixed,
like,
together?
Oh, all we're, mixed together. It was all types of
drugs. Yeah, Molly, Coke,
like,
meth.
At this time, we were like so, like, burned. We had to, like, use all kinds of shit together, like, in order to get high. We were like really fucking Yeah. We were really toast, like,
like far bad. Gone.
Far yeah. gone. Yeah. So like we would be like, bro, like if you like, maybe like if you're up for like 3 days on meth, once you smoke some PCP, it's like the best acid trip. You got to try it. And I'll be like kind of like a PCP shaman to everyone. I had like a special playlist and we'll hit it and I'll just put the music on. We'll be fucking vibing, doing all
no
like
way.
Fucking.
No way.
Yeah, it was like fucking.
I had all these neon lights, all these different color changing light bulbs in the fucking house.
And just drawing like sick psychedelic artwork and stuff.
Was Danny the only one who had the fucked up outfits though?
No, Danny Rock, he had
heat. Yeah,
he had swag. Yeah,
you're thinking of the wigs.
Yeah, the wigs, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We would paint shit too. Like everyone, like every few days, I don't know, it felt like every few days, I'd be like, I don't like how his house looks. And like, would go in and just start painting. And I would like literally have like a crew of tweakers that were just staying, like fools that would just be staying there. And I'd be like, all right, we got to paint. Yeah. We got to start painting, you know?
You got to earn
be,
like, these hits.
Like Chris Collins.
You got to earn those hits.
Chris Collins, Earl, like a few of them, Sasha, and I'd be like, okay, everybody take a room. And we would get through like a portion of it and then just burn out and never really finish it. Yeah. And no then way. Start up on the next, on the next paint job. Nothing ever got
done. We
painted.
Never got anything done.
Never.
Projects never get done. I knew one dude.
This guy had the best ideas, but you know.
Could never execute them. They're really good ideas.
Yeah, straight up. There are some good ones.
Dude, the playlist is incredible. I fucking hate PCP. I don't know why anybody likes it.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great.
I grew up seeing fucking cholos just wiling out in my neighborhood on it. I was like, holy shit. And then I got super fucked up on speed, and it was just, after you're up 4 or 5 days, it's basically the same thing. But I took a couple hits off. It just wasn't my jam.
Yeah. Oh, I would love.
Dude, I was so far gone. Like, shortly after that Doomstick and more PCP, I was so far gone, and I thought this dude like had snitched on me for something, and I had these like giant like remember those rubber gloves?
Yeah,
they were like red like hazmat gloves or something, and I like put them on, and I had this little sawed off shotgun, and like put my hoodie on backwards and like tied it like covering my face, and I was like gonna kill this guy, and I had him on the ground, I had my like, foot on his throat, and I'm like put the gun to his stomach, and I pulled the trigger, and Danny had took the bullets out like right before that happened. No, and at that moment, I came to because there's always like Silver Lake white people.
Dude,
like,
this is daytime.
What the fuck? In the broad daylight. Like it was insane in his alley, and he's like, "Bro, you gotta go. You can't be here for a little while." I was back later that night, but that was a crazy. I probably wouldn't be here right now if he didn't take those bullets out.
Shit.
That sawed off just kept reappearing too.
Oh,
it was like it was so crazy. Like it would like you would get rid of it and then it would pop back up like through somebody else. It was like a pirate gun.
It was a pirate gun.
Yeah, it was like literally.
It was like this big. You broke it down. You put two shells in there and it shot two. It was.
You had to pack the gunpowder.
All like fucking Bugs Bunny.
Yeah. That was a scary piece of machinery.
Dude, I had there was this fucking dude. I mean, this was terrible, but I'm like, I had this dude owed me money. I remember, and like we were. Yeah, I was probably 21. He was probably like 18. But I was like. He, you know, he's just whatever. He was no more. I was no better than him. But at the time, you know, you think you are.
Yeah.
And I remember I'm like, this motherfucker. And he probably owed me $70 or something. But it was like on principle. And I'm like, I show up at his pad and his dad comes out. And his dad's like this veteran dude. You know what I mean? And all like super cool. And I go, is Jimmy here? And he goes, no. And I'm like, and we start talking and shit. And we kind of like, me and his dad became, like literally I'm like, I like the dad. I'm like, fuck it. You know what I mean? So I leave. And then, dude, it was the weirdest thing. But like once a week, I would come by and just and look for the dad. And we just sit there. And he'd be like, you need a sandwich? Like, he knew I was on one. But he'd be like, you need a sandwich or something? I go, oh, yeah, maybe a glass of water or whatever, right? It was the only like human, you know what I mean? Yeah. Human being in my
normal
life.
Normal person.
Yeah. And I bought a shotgun off somebody. In this really weird rifle, it was a 22 long rifle. Like it took these really odd, like long bullets, but it was a kind of a rare gun, like from the 60s or something. But I had him and I'm like, fuck, I don't want to get busted with this shit. And he was a hunter, the dude, right? The dad. And I go, hey, do you want to check these guns out and shit? And he goes, yeah, let me see them. And I pull them out and he goes, those are my rifles.
Oh,
I go,
wow.
I go, well, you can have them, man. I'm, you know what I mean?
Is there a reward? I found
But I'm like, so his kid had stole them and sold them to somebody, and then they sold them to me. But the funniest shit is, I remember, like, because me and him, he's just like my normal friend, like this older dude. And But
his name was like Randy. He was a contractor.
Yeah,
and he had a dually.
But I like I fucking went when I was selling dope on the El Toro Marine Base to all these fucking Marines, and you know the situation. You always think you're gonna come up on like I'm thinking I'm gonna get like fucking AR-15, yeah.
Thermal imaging. Head,
yeah,
head
that was the other thing. Yeah, the fucking
RPGs.
Yeah, I thought like and I'm like fuck, I'm gonna be loaded.
Couple
up, right?
Scud missiles.
I'm driving from fucking Covina all the way to El Toro. Like yeah. Through the fucking security, you know, with a bunch of drugs and shit. And then I remember I left one time, like, they're just like, do you want camo clothing? And I didn't have any use for it, but I'm like, yeah, sure. And dude, I left there, my car was packed from the floor to the ceiling in the back seat and the whole trunk. And I'm like, I get home, I go to sleep, and I wake up, I'm like, yeah, but I'm like, what the fuck am I gonna do with all this like desert camo? You know what I mean? Like,
I'm gonna use it to fucking break into places and blend in.
No, dude, I fucking went by dude's house because he hunted, and I go, hey, you want some camo shit for you and your buddies?
These are my fatigues.
Yeah, he runs it back, yeah. And all of a sudden he's just getting over on you.
I know.
Yeah. I had that happen a few times.
I know it does. It's a small world.
Yeah.
In so many ways, especially in that drug world.
Oh, yeah.
It's
the same record, broken record, yeah. Too. It's yeah. Like, it doesn't matter. You're talking about Hollywood. You're talking about Covina. I grew up in the IE. It's the same bullshit.
Man. Hollywood scared funny. The shit. I mean, I'm older than you guys, yeah. But like... I had a brief period where I was selling into fancy people in Hollywood because in 93, 94.
There was Fred Siegel on La Crescenta, right?
Crescent
Heights.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I would go there and go shopping with all the money I'd make off these people because like they didn't buy dope the way we did. They weren't even trying to get a deal.
Yeah, and like give me an ounce for $1,000 or something.
Oh no, one dude I was telling them like he's like, I want 12 8 balls. I go,
yeah.
Yeah. And he was fucking filthy rich. Right, but I'm like, I go, dude, why don't you just buy a fucking 2 ounces? Yeah. It's cheaper. And he goes, no, I want all like it was this thing.
Yeah.
But like the one time I was at this rap party in the fucking Bellagio Hotel or whatever, and the cops came, but not like the cops come for us. You know, they didn't like they're like breaking up a party, wanting to know who's there, and I get out of the thing, but now I'm stuck on Hollywood Boulevard, and I met some prostitute, and I'm like, look, I just got to get off the fucking street, and she goes, go here and get a Momo, and I get one, and the next
where
time... At?
Where was the Momo?
It was on Hollywood Boulevard, but you know, like, kind of by Rock and Roll Ralph's, like that uh-huh. Deep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I know exactly. Yeah.
There's 4 or 5 right yeah, there, I know, yeah. By the 7th Valley.
The Sahara.
It might have been.
Yeah.
But I'm there, and I'm like, and I don't know, you know, it's the middle of the night and I'm on parole and shit. Yeah. I got a gun on me and I'm like, fuck it. I'm like, I got to get somebody to come get me from Covina. I fucked up. You know what I mean? And then she goes, hey, let's go to my my girlfriend's place. And dude, I go to this apartment building, which I don't know what, but everybody in this apartment building, I think was, you know, doing speed. But it was real shit speed in Hollywood. It was weird.
Right.
Like there's apparently nobody had good. And they were yeah. all, there's, oh. Her and I are walking, and some dude comes on, like, rollerblades, and the wheels are lighting up, and he's a full-on, like, long-haired peckerwood. Like, look like he's from San Bernardino. Yeah. And he's rollerblading down high. I'm like, this place is fucked up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's some freaks out there.
Then I got to this apartment building, and it's like, her girlfriend's there, who's all, like just this mean lesbian, you know what I mean? Like, being a bitch and blah, 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 and they're all firing it, too, right? And I'm like, no, and I remember having a feeling, I'm like, these motherfuckers could kill me. You know what I mean? There's, like, a dozen of them, like... I mean, like, I got a gun, like but
this,
I'm like...
This prostitute lured me here.
Yeah.
Right? And you know when that switch goes yeah. off and you're like, oh...
But
I
knew,
what's
you know,
on,
you know when you know could feel, I'm like, something bad's going to yeah. happen if I don't get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. And then you're all, but if I leave right now, I'm going to be fucking out in the streets with a gun and dope,
yeah.
looking fucking crazy as fuck. So yeah. it's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was fucked.
It's crazy, the crazy situations that you'll put yourself through.
A crazy Hollywood one, so... Danny used to have these two lesbians oh, yeah. that he would sell, he would buy drugs off us, sell it to them, skimp the shit out of them. So we like ended up stepping on his toes eventually and like getting straight to them. Yeah. And then we're like selling to them. And she's like, oh, she owed us some money. Yeah. So we're like right there pressing. And she's like, oh, well, this dude, he ripped me off. Yeah. He's outside. Can you guys fuck him up?
And then, okay.
And we go out, we open the door and like, I grab this fool. And Mike's like about to hit him, and Mike's like, wait,
Like, that's Edward Furlong.
You're the fucking Terminator.
Yeah, so then I just like right away, like, here, dog, get my number. I got you. And then we just start serving Edward Furlong. I swear.
Yeah.
It would be so, it would be such a flex. Like, hey, I'll be back. I got to go downstairs real quick and serve the Terminator kid.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And he got, he would try to be all hood. He would be trying to be all hood. He'd be like, yo, what's up, homies? And I'll be like, yo, you got to chill.
Yeah.
You know? And then he'd start crying. He'd be like, can you just come and take care of me? Yeah. Serve me? Yeah.
Yeah.
But he ended up being like a cool friend at the end.
He was,
like,
yeah.
When
yeah,
I was in
cool.
jail, he put money on my
yeah,
book.
He was great. Yeah,
he's, yeah, like, he wrote cool. me a letter and shit. No,
he's good. Sweet. He's cool as fuck. Shout out Edward Furlong, yeah. brother. You're doing good.
Yeah. Yeah. He is doing good now. Yeah.
Round of applause.
Yeah. 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 Dude. Yeah. That was,
Hollywood
cool
was, I mean, Hollywood was crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, it was
Hollywood,
insane. Yeah. Every five steps was a fucking movie. Literally, like a crazy drug filled movie. It was insanity.
We couldn't, like, we couldn't be outside. It got to a point where, like, we couldn't be outside for a period of time because there would be somebody that would know us that would, like, usually in a black and white car that would try to, like, pop us for something, you know?
Or, like, someone that we did dirty to. Yeah. Like, people were getting victimized and probably buying, like,
Comet
not
shit.
Real drugs.
Tootsie Rolls.
Yeah.
Selling, trading their engagement rings for a doo-doo.
Dude, I remember I would fucking like get a pot and I would just get like a bottle of like the Mexican Coke and just boil that shit and it would like caramelize and like before you know it, there it is. We got like an ounce of heroin. Let's fucking get to work, guys, and let's sell this shit. Yeah, straight. Yeah.
We'll pour a little fucking vinegar on it to give it that smell.
Yeah, so we were doing that.
It would reduce into like this hard thing that looked like heroin. It would smoke like it, but
and then we were selling like horse feed, the MSM, that shit for your joints. We would like sell that as meth.
No way.
Anything that could be.
It like recrystallizes in the
bowl. Yeah. We recrystallize it. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then we would have fools that would do it. Like, they would come back and
they
like,
wanted
want that
shit.
You know?
No
way.
Yeah,
we'd give them real dope and they'd be like, you don't have any more of that other one? Like,
no way.
Yeah. And it was really, it sucked smoking that
so
shit.
So we were always, we were out there, we were finessing and finagling and doing all that. We were getting in where we could fit in any group, and we were doing everyone dirty. Everyone felt the wrath.
Which is King Kong-sized habits.
The worst thing anyone could see would be me, him, Danny, and the homie Spanky walking down the street. Like, that's like the worst combination of people you would see in Hollywood at the time.
Where's Spanky at now?
He's in prison.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's...
Free Spanky?
Yeah, well, he's never going to get free, but
never?
No. Yeah. But he was a good guy.
He was great. Man, he was great.
Psychopath, but Spanky
very
from...
effective component to the group.
There was a time where he got out and he was hanging out at this upholstery shop. Do you remember that spot?
Oh, yeah.
And we got a bunch of ecstasy and he was like, hey, my boy, come through. He's like, we're having a little party right here. And I was like, word. And I show up there and it's like him and three other fools and they're sitting there like in the dark. Listening to Happy Hardcore on a little tiny speaker, you know, like all kind of sitting around it, like all like, and like, because that was like what before they got, like when they were last doing Ecstasy, like Happy Hardcore was like the thing that was on, you know, and they just all was sitting there like, hey, this is the track right here, this is the track, and then it would end up like, hey, play that shit back again, you know, just sitting there playing it,
That's a weird thing, like when somebody has a business and all of a sudden it becomes like a speed business.
Oh, yeah,
that party
was
business.
Oh, yeah. Business.
They were not doing any upholstery at all in that place.
Speaking of businesses that were not businesses, we had a friend who was in downtown, and I've talked about, you know, I've talked about before, RIP Persian Ben.
Rest in peace, Ben.
Yeah.
He was literally like almost like a father figure to me at a point.
Like a terrible fun.
Is he the one who had all the weird shit?
He was a great. He was an older man. He was maybe in his 70s at this time.
No.
And he was a.
He had all the bitches.
He had all the women. He owned a store on Spring Street in downtown.
Six and Spring. Which is now a Silver Lake Ramen.
It's turned into Silver Lake Ramen. He had a store working downstairs. He had like hot girls working for him, and then upstairs was just. Everyone was just smoking heroin, nodding off. He was doing transactions, fucking bitches. Like, he was, like, really fucking...
At 70, in his 70s.
Yeah. No way.
Damn.
Yeah, with his wife, like, running the store downstairs. Still, like, you know, now, like, as a business owner, I think back at it, like, there's still, like, you got to get, like, inventory. You got to do all this stuff, you know? Like, there was a fully functioning store going on, and then you would go to the door in the back and get, like, buzzed in and go upstairs. And it was, like... just all kinds of fucking creatures, you know,
yeah,
up there.
Like the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and scumbags.
You, yeah. And you could bring anything.
Like people that wouldn't even be allowed in the store downstairs.
he'll buy anything, you bring him, but he's not paying you a lot. But he'll buy it.
He'll take it.
Like, we've collected, like, really expensive items for, like, nothing to this dude. Damn.
At the time, I was, like, stealing mail. And I came up on a Cartier watch, and he bought it off me. I sold it to him, like, for so cheap. But he's wearing that thing around, like, getting all the women. Yeah,
no way.
He was a one of a kind guy.
He really was. And he would always, he put me on to, like, he would, like, because we would kind of always stay in, like, Momo's in the same little areas, you know?
Yeah.
And Ben was like, oh no, we stay over here. And he would go, like, far. And to me, it was like, I'd never been to Commerce before, you know? Yeah. Like, and he would stay, like, the Commerce Casino. And he's like, oh, because you could go and, like, you could hang out and you could, like, smoke and whatever. Like, and he wouldn't, like, you know, would pay, like, would just fuck around and play there, but it would always stay there. And he would get rooms in these, like, faraway places, like, you know, like Highland Park, you know? It's like, I don't even think I'd ever heard of Highland Park before.
Well, most of the time he wanted to be far because he was probably with, like, someone else's girlfriend. Yeah, he was a professional Mac.
For real?
Oh, he was pimping hoes and slamming Cadillac doors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
And he was he didn't do dope, right?
He did. He loved it. He was He did, like, a delicacy. Like, he would do it all, like, luxurious and stuff.
Was he wearing all kinds of jewelry and shit?
He would also get, like, probably victimized by a lot of the young ladies and a lot of his...
Nah, he was always on point. He would never slip. Yeah.
I know,
He would end up getting them somehow.
Yeah, he
would.
Really
he would always
good.
Come back. Yeah, yeah. Even if you got him, he'll he was going to get you back. Yeah. Bad. Yeah, and he would let you know.
He'll let you win the battle, but you're not going to win the war.
Wait, didn't you? He's the one you tried to sell that fake iPad to, right?
Oh, man.
Oh, I remember that iPad.
I thought I was such a genius. I thought I was like, I figured it out. I got an iPad box. You might have been busted for this, but I got an iPad box. And I was like, oh, I'm going to bring it and I'm going to weigh it out. And I'm like, I put like batteries or something inside of the iPad box so it would weigh like a real fucking iPad, you know? And then I got like shrink wrap and like a hair dryer or like a heat gun and I like solidified it to where it looked all legit, you know? And I brought it to him. I mean, it was like an iPad, whatever, generation 4. It was like a newer iPad, right? And I was like, hey, Ben, I got an iPad. He goes, oh, cool, bring it over. Yeah. You know, and I bring it over. And he goes, okay. He's like, my friend coming. And I'm all hyped because I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm going to get, you know. And like, what was I thinking, you know?
Was he trading you guys dope or money?
Either or.
I mean, you got better. If you got dope, it would be
And
better.
You had like a, literally like a really cool place in downtown to be get high at.
Yeah. You could just hang out there for hours.
You could, and like steal his days. Customers.
Days, man.
That's almost worth a little, you know what I mean?
That in itself.
Like how big was the place?
It was like maybe the size of this room.
It was probably the size. And you know what the crazy part is? That like we met him through like selling him heroin and stuff. But then as like eventually, like as time went on, like, you know what I mean? Like I ended up being there doing heroin with them. Selling them fake iPads.
Yeah. It's like, I need a piece. Yeah. And you're like, oh, yeah, I'll take care of you. Yeah. You know what I mean? Whatever.
He was a caring good guy. He was great.
And he had this little dog. I remember one time he was like holding this little dog and he was fighting. I forget who he was fighting. Were you there when we were like by, it was by the Sanborn Yard? And we're with Gilbert.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, all right. So that's a whole crazy story in itself. Like Gilbert hits me up like, hey, can you come pick me up? Bring me a ounce of cocaine. I have ether. I want to cook it in the ether. And I was like,
I was like,
all right, I'll come get you. And I'm like driving a stolen car to go pick him up in the valley. I hate the valley. And when I get there, there's helicopters above his pad. There's fucking black SUVs everywhere. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? He gets in the car. He's like, hey, you got the coke? I was like, yeah, but like, what the fuck is all this shit? I'm all paranoid. You know what I mean? And he's like cooking it up. He's like, my dad's just having dinner with Obama. Like, it's not a big deal. I was like, what the fuck? You got me driving over in a stolen car with a fucking Mac 10. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck is going? Like, I was so pissed, dude.
I had that happen one time. Like, I'm on parole. My buddy's on parole, right? And he lived in Chino. And I think I've told this before, but like, it was like, you know, once you get like Covina and out, even El Monte, but like there'll be this. It's like three condos. You know, they're like two story condos, and then you'd like kind of there's like a ramp down, and you park, and the garages are under it. And so my boy's like he's dealing dope. I'm dealing dope. There's another dude across the way, like, because we'd be on the balcony. I'd be talking to him across the way. and he was dealing dope. And then one time I pull up, I'm going to meet him, and I pull up and there's fucking a hazmat truck. You know what I mean? And fucking like cop cars everywhere. I'm like, fuck. And I go to a payphone and I'm like, and I call and he goes, yo. And he answered the phone. I was like, first, of course, I'm like, oh, this motherfucker's no good. He's going to try to lure me, right? He goes, it ain't us. He goes, it's some black dudes at the end. So there was another, out of six apartments, three of them were people dealing dope. And they busted a lab there.
Wow. Wow.
Did you remember, what was that fucking answer?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. All right,
so there was this dude, what was the first Uber driver guy's name?
Robert.
All right, Robert. He was like one of the first Uber drivers ever in history.
Back when Ubers were like Lincoln Town Cars and shit.
Yeah.
You know,
that's yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So we would call him Rubert because it was like Robert and Uber mixed Rupert, together. Yeah. And he relapsed with us. You know, I think we like got a ride from him or mm-hmm. something. He relapsed with us. And he hits us up like, hey, can you drop off some dope? He's like, I got this little twink right here. I'm about to fucking blow his shit out right now. And I was like, yeah. So we like sell him like a dub of meth or something. And then after, this dude hits us up and he's like, hey, can you sell me like a 30 of heroin? Oh, he was like, I got this little twink. I'm about to blow his shit out for 30 bucks right now. And then, and then we get a call from fucking and he's like, hey, dude, I got 30 bucks. Can you meet me right here? At the same storage unit.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a little storage unit out there, like Lexington in Hollywood. Yeah.
The Uber driver?
Yeah. And yeah. And it was all pimped out. Like, hey, he had a lava lamp.
Yeah. Like a little couch. It was kind of like those when you go into a bathroom at like a, and this is like the guy with the paper towels and yeah. all the colognes. He had that in the back of his car.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, like a drink that had like those little bubbles in it, and no like little way. Like uh-huh. fucking nuggets or whatever, like blue dots.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I've heard
times.
You talk about the first Uber driver before. Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that's how he earned the 30 bucks. What? That's this crazy.
30 bucks.
Yeah. Hey, 30 bucks is 30 bucks.
Fucking answer, huh?
No.
Is he dead?
I don't know. Shout out.
I don't think he could die.
Yeah. He can't die. Yeah. He was the one I talked about him before, where he was. We found videos online of him when he got busted,
oh, yeah,
and
he was playing.
He was in the band in contraband.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
bro. I was in jail when he was in that band.
And
he was all healthy too.
And yeah. He was buff. Yeah. I think he was a Southsider at this time. And his band was called Contraband.
Contraband.
And he was playing music.
But what band was he in?
He was in a band before we met him, before his decline.
Yeah.
He was like a
MySpace, like fucking, emo, yeah, dude. Emo dude. No, yeah.
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 Yeah,
I had a
his
big
whole arm was tattooed with fucking rainbow unicorns.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, he was a fucking weirdo.
Damn. That makes even more sense now, thinking about those 30 bucks. I'm about to blow this twink's back out. Yeah, it was the homie.
His whole Facebook now is like AI-generated images of himself now. He's like, look, I'm healthy again. But it's like obviously AI. Yeah. Yeah,
no way. No, I feel like I've seen somebody with those tattoos that are
He's goaded. He's goaded for sure.
I don't think he's ever made it to a meeting. He's never tried to get sober. Yeah.
Really?
He's dedicated as fuck.
Yeah, and he was a shiesty ass dude.
Yeah.
He was always trying to like, I remember I almost got someone to tattoo loyal to the foil on his forehead for like a half gram.
Uh-huh.
He'll literally like cry to you like, please. You mean like he was like one of those.
I got video of him. I got like somewhere in the cloud. You know, I have like a video of him like, please, please, Daniel, can I just give me one hit, just one.
Bullshit.
And then I'd give him one and he'd say, I just need one more. I was like, just shut the fuck up. Yeah, fuck you.
Dude, he was so annoying.
Oh, the worst.
Fuck that guy.
And he would always like, you could never shake him. He would always pop up at the fucking worst times, you know. He would burn everybody.
Yeah.
Like everybody. He was just like the sketchiest. But he would like that fucking fake the Coca-Cola shit, like he would always, you know, you could always sell him that and get over on him with that.
Really?
Yeah.
But he would never have the full amount of money. So it was like we were still making a profit from the Coca-Cola. Even though it was like he wasn't paying the full price.
I was telling Danny and Reno, like, and he was like a friend of mine, this skinhead had called me. He's like, hey, you got any dope? I go, yeah. He goes, yeah, just bring me a dub. And I go and he gives me like, you know, fucking like, it's like 10
pocket
bucks.
Knife.
You know, like 10 bucks, 5 bucks.
Like, some Marlboro Miles.
Yeah.
Camel Cash.
Dude, and but then like, It, one was a roll of nickels,
yeah,
so, which is $2, I think.
And it was washers.
But I remember I like,
with just nickels on the outside.
No, the
that's
middle,
all this one.
The middle was pennies.
That's my Aisha right there.
It was pennies in the middle.
No, it was, yeah, it was pennies in the middle. You're like, why does it go down?
Yeah. Was the guy saying? Not for me.
What's the craziest thing you've ever had clucked to you?
Bro. I've actually had the, like, well, one of the coolest things was a guy clucked me a shotgun that was the guy he stole it from was he worked for the railroad, so it was a golden shotgun with the it was with this like beautiful ass inscription, damn, on it, and it had like two railroad spikes like engraved on it. It was like so like prestigious. Wow. I wish I had it now, but I ended up clucking it probably, yeah, even for less than I got it, yeah, for after. There's so many good things.
Yeah.
Damn, I don't know, man. I think I've gotten every single thing possible.
Yeah, like anything you could think of.
Dude, my connection would come and he'd always be like, dude, you've got to quit taking stuff, just only money. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because, yeah, I'd be like, look, I don't have all of it.
I've heard
but
that
I got,
before, too.
Yeah, I'm like, I could never wrap my head around. I'm like, wait, I'm going to give this guy a quarter gram for $20 or a fucking pistol?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you always are like, I'm like, fuck, I'll get $500 for this pistol.
I remember Danny had a fucking, yeah, what was that? You had an Apple TV before an iPad or an iPhone even existed.
Oh, yeah. Danny's
like, what the fuck was that?
Dude? Yeah.
It was.
I got some crazy, yeah.
Like, he had an Apple TV. Like, what the fuck was that?
It was like a flat screen that goes on a wall that, yeah, was Apple, yeah, branded. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but this was like, in a time where that did not exist. I don't think it was real, but it was crazy.
Where I'm from, like, there's even this guy, Antique. You know, you're, like, making your rounds. Yeah. And this dude, Antique Mike, who was, like, an antique dealer, but, you know, you could trade him dope for shit. And then there was this girl who was, like, there was this, do you remember pirate radio?
Yeah.
There was, like, all these, like, pirate radio, like, hot girls, yeah, who would ride motorcycles and shit. And one of them had, like, fallen on, you know, become one of us. And, but she had like the trash routes down, like, so you, whatever, Beverly Hills on Tuesday and, you know, Hollywood Hills on Wednesday, that kind of shit. And she would just go dumpster diving through all those people. And the shit she would come up with was wild. Like jewelry and, you know, I mean, all sorts of shit.
I never got into that either, but I had a couple of friends that I was like, yo, like they would come up on so much shit.
Dumpster diving?
Yeah, it's crazy.
A lot of it is like some old person will die and their family will think something's costume jewelry.
Yeah.
There was a thing that happened in Silver Lake around time we were getting loaded was people were, I mean, I guess it was like kind of later on. It wasn't like the, like after like the whole AIDS thing would happen, but when like if somebody would die of AIDS and they wouldn't have any family members, and what their landlord would be like scared of was that like they would get AIDS. So they would take all their shit and they would put it outside.
Oh, really?
And we would get like weird posters and art and like
vibrators.
Shit, like vibrators. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Also too, like something that's like surreal to me is, the whole tropical cafe thing, like, because,
yeah,
we used to live up the street from there, and you know, there would be AA meetings there, and we would go to the AA meetings with like fake
20s and give it to the Seventh Tradition in the basket and get change.
Bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. We really would. Yeah. Full disclosure, we did. Yeah. And then now the guy is fucking owning the place. You mean it? Yeah.
Now I get to.
I know. Now you get to figure
it out. It all comes around.
We got, yeah, we got two fake hundreds the last month, and I was like, well, yeah, it was time. Yeah, it was meant to happen. I knew it was going to happen.
You got to take the L.
Yeah.
Oh,
can't
even get. Dude, we've done like, yeah, we've done like so much. We used, like, these guys would take, we'd still catalytic convert. We were ahead of the, curve. We were doing catalytic converters like 15 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I had like a 24-hour cash-in spot where it was two brothers. They lived in different, and you could go anytime. So, man, we would just be doing that all night.
Oh, that's too. All they wanted was catalytic converters?
Yeah.
How much would you get for one?
Like $300 for each one from like a certain Toyota ones and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Long before it was cool.
Yeah. Like, yeah. We were like way ahead of the curve.
You know, like the places I'll be driving around with Camille and I'll be like, oh, she, like every time I'm like, oh, I used to stay right there. Oh, I lived right. She's like, where the fuck did you not live? Yeah. You know, like, I mean, and it doesn't around, matter, bro. You know, like from Momo's to fucking to apartments to like fucking, you know, when Airbnb first came out.
Oh,
I still can't. I still can't rent on Airbnb. You know.
I know. I still can't rent a U-Haul.
Yeah, I can't rent a U-Haul because of this motherfucker.
I know, yeah. Oh, you did one of those things where you got the U-Haul and then you drove it around as a vehicle.
Well, we all would do like, that. We would get like a rent a U-Haul like with a credit card number or something, and then just like run it into the ground.
Well, there was a thing too. So if you had an ID, you could give them your ID and say, "Oh, I don't have a credit card," because you know not everyone had credit cards at that time. So you would pay cash. So they'd be like, "All right, give me $100 cash deposit plus the $60 for the day or whatever." So like $160, you got a car for 3 months.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
straight up.
And we would pimp them out too. We'd be living in the back of it, throw a couch back there, some shit. Yeah.
Beanbag.
Yeah, beanbag. Yeah.
Dude, remember that when the merch mansion, we had the fucking U-Haul filled with all the scrap metal.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
wow.
I forgot who was in the back of it, but I was like driving aggressive. It was all sharp ass metal. And they're like, stop.
What about, okay, there was a night where the merch mansion got raided.
Oh, yeah.
And I really didn't learn how to drive until I got sober. Like, I could not drive, you know? Like, I just never really drove. I could drive, but I wasn't a great driver.
Yeah.
And I was in this U-Haul, and we were trying to get away from there. And I just remember, like, backing up and trying to go forward and not realizing what, like, why. I was like, why can't I drive straight? And I'm looking, and I look back, and there's a Jeep that literally you could see inside of, because I like fucking can't open the entire side of the Jeep because I was just stuck on a fucking Jeep that I backed
into. Right
in
front of the spot. Yeah. Oh, so the merch mansion was a series of abandoned buildings that were all connected. It was on Sunset from Western to the next small street over.
No, it was Hollywood. It was Hollywood and Western.
Yeah.
It was Hollywood?
Yeah.
Isn't that big? It was that big tall building? It used
to be like a fancy loft now, but like it was a recording studio where like Tupac recorded Hit 'Em Up, and like,
oh, wow. Wasn't it I think the Ed Sullivan Theater was there too, right?
Maybe
it might have been. It's right across.
There was the Hollywood Railroad Museum was back there. It was connected to it, but it was like this whole thing of buildings.
And it was abandoned, and it just like
for like 3 months. And we lived there. It had power, it had air conditioning,
no way,
hot water.
What
we lived
fuck?
There for 3 months. It was like the most crazy place on earth.
Yeah, we went to go paint it. And then we were like, wait, what's this? And we kind of like started messing around. And then it was like in the recording studio, there was still like a bunch of like old equipment. Like it was literally, they just shut down and left all the shit. Yeah.
Yeah. It was
they probably wrapped a job and they just were like, we don't want to take
I think they just got bought out and everyone's
like,
leave
now. Like, you know how like when the city buys your property, they just give you a payout and just get the fuck out like ASAP?
Yeah. It was like that.
And you guys were all living there?
Oh yeah, we lived there.
And then
months.
We were there for a while, and then like tweakers slowly but surely started coming in, and we were trying to kick them out, and they would come in, and then they kind of just like
we had that one dude as like a security guard. Remember, we're like, you stay in front, and we had like the cool part of the recording studio. We're like, all right, you stand in front, you don't let no one through this door. And he was always like fucking people up. And like,
really?
Who was that? Yeah. What's the name? Kazoo? Was that that?
Kazoo was there, but he was definitely not the security guard. It was some dude sicko or something. He would just like be right there with the machete in front.
Damn.
Yeah. It was like some post-apocalyptic ass landscape, dude. It was insane.
That's fucking. When was that? Like 2013 or something?
12, maybe.
2012, huh?
2013, Yeah, it was a trip because I remember when I was working in animation, there was this theater on Hollywood and Vine. And I remember it was where all the gutter punks lived in this back of this theater, you know, when it shut down. And I would like kind of like be looking, and I would always just see them like kicking it, you know, and like I would like go drink with them sometimes. You know, I'm like working next door, but I would go like pretend like I'm all fucking dirty and go hang out with them at the, you know, and I was like. And that went away, and I was like, we're never going to see this again.
What was it called?
It was there was a theater right on Sunset and Vine. And in the back of that theater, it was like where all the, like, all these fucking, like, all these punks, all the Hollywood punks would all live there. Yeah, like hundreds of them, you know? And I was like, we're never going to ever see anything like that ever again. And then we saw it. We lived it.
Yeah, we had it.
Yeah.
Dude, another fucking funny story. Danny got busted. I forgot how long you were in jail for, but you got off of heroin, and you were sober. And he got released, like, in the county like paper suit.
Oh damn.
And he didn't have any clothes, and at the time I just dressed all like gang banged out, like big ass clothes, and I'm like, here fool, wear this shit. And he had like big old like shorts on, like tall socks, like he looked all thugged out. I'm like, all right, no more heroin for you, we're just gonna sell meth, and you're gonna sell heroin. And I was like, he was like doing good, but also, all right, so this was the first person I ever see get released from jail who came out with fucking Pinner cigarettes. I'm like, why didn't you leave it for the motherfuckers in there? He's like fucking sparking up a Pinner cigarette rolled on fucking Bible paper and shit. And then, so then we fucking, he was doing good for like maybe a week or two.
Yeah.
And then,
it felt like a year, you know, but it was probably 2 weeks. Yeah.
It was probably 3 days, but it felt like a long time. And then
but then
like,
there was this girl.
I was like, hey, can you take this ounce of heroin to this girl? And, Dude, the ass on her was insane, bro. Insane. And she was the craziest junkie. I didn't see him like for at least a week after that.
That was your lady after that.
Mm-hmm. It was
baby
like
baby girl.
Yeah, she fucking she finessed, bro.
Whatever happened to her?
I don't know. She was cool.
Mm-hmm. She was cool. She had this simp boyfriend that she was just like sending around to get her dope and to like to go like to run like little missions for her. And while like he, and she was like she was working, you know, like she would work and he they had an agreement, you know, but he would always be like on these little missions and coming back and he'd come back and she would be like getting ran through by whatever dudes, so you know, and he would like hang out. Yeah, he would like hang out outside and then come in. Nah. You know? Yeah.
Dude, her ass cheeks were like basketballs. And she was a white girl, like basketball sized ass cheeks. Not fat, like she was well put together, dude. Yeah, it was a good one. Now, one time I went into her apartment. She stayed right there on, what was it, on
Cahuenga? Like Cahuenga and Yucca.
Yucca, I think. And she was just beating that dude with a paddle in the ass when I went in to go serve her. Yeah, wow. Just like, he was like tied up and she was just fucking wailing on this dude's ass cheeks with that paddle. I was like, yo.
Next.
She was the one that when I was helping her move. So like, and then she got kicked out of the place and whatever. We packed up her stuff and she was like, "Oh, this is going to the storage." And we put some shit in storage. And there was something that went like. Then she had to get a second storage unit. And there was a U-Haul that she rented. That she was like, "Hey, can you meet me over here with this U-Haul?" And we'd been moving shit for a long time. And I was like, "Man, you know what? Fuck this U-Haul and fuck this bitch and like I'm over this, you know, like I'm not like I started feeling like her little simp fucking dude, you know, yeah. And I was like, fuck it, I'm taking this U-Haul and everything in it and I'm gonna live out of it, you know, and I did, and I lived for like 2 months. That was like that was the pad, you know, and she would be trying to like find me because she wanted to return the U-Haul because it was in her name and she would like send fools over. We scribed up the fight, like, you know, it was all like mobbed up. It would always run out of gas, like shit would break in it, you know. I think that was the time that I think that was where I got busted with that U-Haul, but then I got released.
Oh, yeah, by the pavilions.
From, yeah.
Yeah. That was when you... Oh, no, you got busted racking at the pavilions.
Oh, yeah.
And then you got busted again for being parked outside of the pavilions in that U-Haul. And then Sasha fucking stole the U-Haul, and then I stole it from her.
Nah.
Yeah. Oh, dude, she was so sad. I felt bad. Sorry, Sasha.
And I'm just busted the whole time, and I'm like... Where the fuck is... I wonder who the... nobody better be fucking with my U-Haul the whole time that I'm busted. Yeah. It's not even my U-Haul. It's not even my fucking U-Haul the whole time.
We were territorial over our U-Hauls. Yeah.
Somebody ripped off the thing that I ripped off. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that Cheech and Chong movie.
Yeah. Right, oh, man. We got two questions that we usually ask, and I know the answer to one of them, but the other one...
Have you ever seen a ghost?
No. Never seen a ghost?
Never seen a ghost. Never seen any supernatural shit.
I've only ghosted.
I'm the ghost.
I've seen some hell of spooky shit, but no ghost shit. It would probably, I don't know, just like, I mean, when I was on drugs and stuff, I was like super paranoid and like delusional. So probably like I would think I was like at a satanic meeting and it would just be like people hanging out or something. Or just everything was like spooky or something. You know, like when you get to a certain... Yeah, point of your addiction where just like everything's dark and you're really living in that dark place, like you just would like your mind start playing tricks on you every now and then.
I've never done heroin, but I'm convinced like meth makes like it brings out evil, you know.
It does. It opens that porthole too.
Yeah.
And especially the stuff that's going around now.
Ugh.
Like it makes it cool to like
I don't think whatever none of us have done that modern shit though. I don't think.
No.
It's all
whatever it is now is not the same.
Yeah.
No, I read an article about it, and it's not. It's like the old style shit from the like P2P, but it's not made correctly. It's not made of fucking cold pills anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And they're making it in these Mexican super. You know, they make fucking 500 pounds at a time or whatever. So there's no whatever it is.
They don't give a shit about people getting high or you know what I mean, like what it is. Back in the day, them bikers, they cared. They wanted to fucking get loaded.
Dude, because they were doing it too.
Like they were doing it too. Exactly.
I was in prison and I seen a white guy beat up another guy for saying that his dope was bunk.
No,
I swear, like beat the living shit out of him. Like if it was like if he called his fucking daughter like a whore or something, he fucking took that shit to heart. Like ain't nobody gonna fucking say my dope is. I got the best shit. Like, it was crazy. They really had pride in it. Yeah, like so proud.
Some fucking kid at Impact I was talking to, like at the at Mount Washington 2 weeks ago. I want to say he said a quarter pound is $300.
Oh wow,
it's something crazy.
No, you get a whole pound for like $600.
Yeah, like an ounce is probably like what an eight ball used to cost.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, like a pound is $600 right now.
That's insane.
I know. Damn, we quit at the wrong time. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It was when I got sober in 98 and it was fucking like $6,000 or $7,000 a pound.
Yeah.
Wow. We need a time machine. That's what you're saying.
I know. Yeah.
Right. All the bright ideas I've had. Yeah. We need a fucking time machine.
I know.
Yeah. The other question that we ask, and I know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway because we always ask it. Have you ever smoked PCP? And if you have, give us a PCP story.
I've never smoked PCP before. Yeah. I don't know what
I remember. I got a good one. We smoked some PCP. Well, I did. I don't know if you did. But, we took a walk from Danny's house, and I swear, like, helicopters were over us. Like, it was like we were literally in a movie, and, like, everybody was just following us, watching us. I could, like, literally, like, thought I could, like, predict the future. Like, I could know what you were going to say, like, 3 seconds before you said it. I was just, like, super tuned in, but, like... And then, like, the helicopters following us, I could literally see, like, the pilot, like, looking down at us and shit. It was pretty intense. There was so many intense fucking PCP stories. Like, every single one was intense.
I got one PCP story. So, I was driving, and I thought I was driving fast, right? But it turns out I was driving like 1 mile per hour, and I'm on the freeway, and there was like a symphony of horns honking at me, and then at that moment, I think he was asleep in the car. We switched, and he was driving, and then I'm dipping this sherm stick, and I'm like shaking it so it like all drips down, and a drop goes in my eyeball.
Oh shit!
And I'm like fuck, and then we're smoking it, and my face is melting off. And he ashes out the window, and the ash flies out the window, goes straight into my eyeball.
No. Oh, another, I think it was actually the same car. Okay, we were up for days. We're smoking PCP, and we're driving like fucking like Leimert Park, like at fucking 4 a.m. We get pulled over. The car's still hotboxed with like sherm smoke, and he had a warrant. So they ended up taking him, and we're high as fuck. And then the cops are like, all right, we're going to just leave the keys with your homeboy. They let me drive, and I could just literally see in his eyes, like, please just impound the car. I'll be like a lot safer if you just impound it. And then I just rolled to Dan, and he showed up, like, the next morning.
Yeah, I think that car was, like, actually legit mine for some reason.
It was a rental. It was, like, a legit rental or some shit. Yeah, like, somehow.
Yeah.
But that was a good one. That the cops actually, like, bro, we was like couldn't even talk, and they were like, all right, here you go, sir, here's the keys. Like, bro, just fucking like somehow made it. But yeah, there's so many every single PCP story. I mean, every single time is a different story. I mean, there's so many.
That house in the alley. There was some kind of weird fucking magic that, like, we were
vortex,
protected.
Bro.
It was a vortex.
Yeah.
But also, we were, like, protected there, you know? Like, it's crazy that, like, it never got raided.
I know.
It never got, like, nobody ever, like, you know, like...
Kicked in the door.
Kicked in the door. I mean,
and you wouldn't even lock the door.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to kick it in, yeah.
Where was it?
It was in Silver Lake.
Oh. Marathon. Like, right by the...
Right off Occidental, yeah. Behind somebody's house, a certain somebody's house.
Did somebody just like look out? Or?
No, I was so I don't know. I was always like, I had this edible company, and I would like kind of, I was good at hustling, and I would be able to like have enough money to come
he
in.
Would actually employ people. Yeah, like everyone would be there employed. He would go do his rounds. It was fun. It was fun to watch. He's always been an entrepreneur, and he was always up to like good stuff. He had great ideas, but once we started like really getting into the heroin and stuff,
there's no executing ideas. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would get enough money to like get a place, and I could then sign it, and it would start with like either a sublet or something. Yeah. And I found this spot that was $950 a month for a one bedroom guest house in Silver Lake with parking in a little yard. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to live here forever, you know? And
dude, that was sick,
kicked out of there. It was dope.
Were you all three living there?
I remember when he pushed my car down the alley. Like another time I got out of jail or some shit, and I had left the car parked in your fucking thing,
and like, I was so paranoid that it was a G-Ride.
Yeah,
I was like, I gotta get this thing
out
of
here. He like took it apart, broke the car.
Yeah, I broke the steering column, like put a fucking thing and then rolled it down there.
It was all tagged in and everything, and then like I'm like, what the fuck, I'm all tripping on about the car. I leave, and I come back and the car is gone. he put it in neutral and like pushed it down the alley, and it crashed into a fucking tree at the end of the alley.
Because you were convinced it was a G ride?
I was convinced, yeah. I don't even think it was a G ride.
It was.
Oh, it was a G ride. Yeah. Yeah.
No, so the thing was, I had this like universal key for it, and I was at Home Depot, and I just fucking got all this shit from Home Depot, and I come out, and the car was gone. And Rocco also had that universal key, and he took that car not knowing it was mine with all my shit in the trunk, and I found it at his house. I was like, what the fuck? How'd you get my car
That
here?
Was one thing. We would, like, pull up in a stolen car, and, like, before you know it, like, one of us would go steal the stolen car from me. That happened to me a couple times there. Yeah, yeah, like, someone would steal, you mean? Like, there's honor amongst thieves type shit.
I had somebody clock me a Nissan Titan, like a newer Nissan Titan. And it was, and I feel terrible about this. It was a gardener's, you know? So it had all the fucking gardening supplies in it, you know? And all the gardening supplies in it. And I probably get, like, you know, whatever. I'd like, you know, there was a very nominal amount of dope or money that was exchanged for that car. And then this fool comes over, and I'm, like, unloading all the equipment. I'm, like, trying to figure out what to put on Craigslist to sell to whoever. And Grumpy's like, hey, can I borrow that for a bit? And I was like, no, you can't. And he was like, I'll be right back. Last I ever saw him.
we'd always.
And then he came back, and I'm all heated, and he was like, no. He's like, we can't have you get busted, because you're the only one of us that doesn't have a fucking record with this shit. Like, you got to keep your shit clean so that you can have fucking these, like, weird little places.
Manipulation.
The original gaslighting. And I was like,
dude, I love when you have a stolen car, but you act like it's yours. You're
dude,
like,
or you have a stolen car, you're taking it to the car wash and shit. Fucking spraying shit in there.
Dude, I had this 79 Eldorado that was fucking, you know, like, whatever. But I, like, there was nowhere to, like, put cups and shit. And, dude, I go to some track auto. I'm on one. And, like, you remember, like, the old school ones? Like, it holds, like, two cups and cassettes?
Yeah.
This one was, like, the size of a shoebox. Oh. So it opened. It had a cup holder. But next thing you know, like, I mounted a compass on it and a clock. Hey, all sorts. Like, I would just be like, with a Makita, putting all this shit on it. And I wouldn't be like, hey, don't fucking touch it. You know what I mean?
All protective
of it.
We're probably going to need a part two on this show.
We need a part two,
finish up these stories.
And then they just keep coming back. You know?
Yeah, I know.
It took a while for them to reboot, but yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you guys for coming out.
For having us.
Dead City Punks premieres on April 16th.
April 16th, Reach
Here. Yeah.
Be on the lookout. We got a lot of cool shit coming, and if you're into that type of stuff, this will be right up your alley.
Right on.
And thank you, everyone out there, and...
Fuck yeah. Thank you guys
so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Peace.